Father God always wants to communicate us, right? Do you feel that Father God always wants to communicate with you? I hope you do. And one of the things that perhaps the greatest idea that Father God wants made known to us is the fact that, well, he wants to be with each and every one of us, right? Hopefully you recognize the fact that he wants to be with you. And he wants us to know that we are deeply loved and that we are important. This is our Father God. We are more important to him than we could ever possibly know. I don't think that we would have even a grasp upon knowing how important that we are to God, that we take up time in his mind, that he puts us above so much other things going on, that he loves us so deeply. And he wants us to know this, and he wants us to know his heart. Do you want to know the Lord's heart? Do you want to feel the Lord's heart in your life? Do you really want to feel the love of Father God like he wants to show it to you? I hope so. Because he wants to reveal that to us in the greatest of ways. And I realize the depth of the understatement I'm about to make, but stick with me just a second and you'll realize where I'm going. It says, our God is a very complex creator. Right? No duh. Complex creator. Well beyond what we could ever know, our God is very complex. And for anybody to state that they know God fully is incorrect. In fact, if I was to look at them and they tell me that, hey, I know God fully, I'm going to look at them and go, you are totally absurd. You have no idea how dumb that statement is. Right? But sometimes we feel that we know God in everything, that we know him totally. Right? We feel that way. The fact is, we may never know everything about God. We may never know. By the time we get up to heaven and we're basking in his glory, we probably won't even care to know everything about God. Right? We're not gonna. We are gonna know as much about God that he wants to reveal to us. He's gonna reveal exactly what he wants us to know about him. And you have to look at this, that we aren't given the information all at once. You know, it's like, how many times have you prayed, God, reveal this to me, and then about 12 years later is when he reveals that to you. You been there? I've been there on a couple times now. It's like, God, please just reveal this to me. And I go later on, it's like, where was this 10 years ago? I could have used it then, but I wasn't ready yet. And God knew this. And he says, okay, my wisdom, I'm going to give it to you when you need it and when you're ready for it. And sometimes the readiness comes way later than the need. Right? Huh? Go ahead. This is interactive. Right. I agree with that, totally. But we really didn't need it because God gave it to us when we needed it. Yeah, exactly. But sometimes we can need it, but if we're not ready for it, we're still not going to get it. And that's the thing is that God works, well, the understatement, right? God works in mysterious ways. You know, it's like that is. So I was thinking about them, or about that, when I was looking at this Father's Day's message. And knowing that, you know, last month you got to hear Pastor Jess and hers, she was talking about God's mother heart. I wanted to speak about God's father heart and what that means, well, if not to the rest of you guys, but especially to me, is God's father heart. See, Pastor Jess came up here and talked about God's mother heart, right? She spoke about how God is spirit. And his spirit is reflected in both genders. You remember that? That he gives out his spirit to us, and as male and female, we reflect that part of God's heart. Right? We're made in the image of God to reflect God, but we reflect God in the way he makes it possible for us to do. We don't get the full package all at once. And sometimes God says, no, I give you this and I give you this, because that's the way he's designed things. And that's the way it is between mothers and fathers. It's designed that way so that we can reflect the total spirit of God in the two of us, male and female. Because each gender has a unique role in fulfilling his plan. So my question is that I put out to everybody, and this is a hypothetical. This is, you don't have to answer this, or not even a hypothetical, but rhetorical, I should say. Who is God the Father? Who's God the Father? What does he mean to you? When I say God the Father, what do you picture in your mind? Now, when you picture something in your mind, you're usually going back to a reference that you have in life, because we all like to have references for something in our life. We all like to have something that we can grasp onto and say, I know what this is because I've seen it or it's been demonstrated to me, and I can go, yes, that's what it is or that's what it's supposed to be. And we look at God the Father, we like to also have that frame of reference, don't we? Now, frame of reference can come in many different ways in many different places. And you'll catch during this entire message some of those frames that I'm speaking about, of who God the Father is. Because with God, we are supposed to look at him and use him as a reference for fathers or being a father. We're supposed to look at God and say, this is what a father is supposed to be, right? We are to focus on God, and he is to be the model of what we as fathers are supposed to be, or you as children, who your father was supposed to be like. He is the pattern. Instead, what we have is we have a world where it has reversed that. We have a world that has taken that jar, that line, and turned it upside down to where we are imprinting God the Father with the idea of what an earthly father is. Does that make sense? We're taking the idea of who Father on earth is, and we're saying this is who our Father in heaven is also. And this is incorrect. We've put the cart before the horse, and this is very bad. We need to realize that our Father in heaven is not our earthly father. Right? Even if we have a very godly earthly father, that is still not our Father in heaven. He goes so much far and above and beyond that. And we need to realize this if we're to really truly know what a father is supposed to be, and for the guys in here, what a father is supposed to act like. We need to realize that. Because I know that in Jess's message, Pastor Jess's message, she talked about wounds. She talked about mother's wounds. She talked, you know, and I also take that and I put that upon father's wounds. There's many different people out here. We got done just praying for some of those that don't have a father, that have been wounded by the image of their earthly father, that they carry these wounds with them. And because they carry these wounds with them, they imprint them onto the Father God. And they're not going to follow a father like that. They're not going to call out to a father like that. They're not going to open their heart to a father like that. They're not going to think that there's any love for them to even receive because they have a father, earthly father like that. This is a reversal. And this is a reversal that we need to get away from. And so this morning I want to talk about who our Father God really is. There's countless numbers of people out there that live with those fathers. And because of that, we have a flawed reference to base our Heavenly Father on. So we have to know who Father God is. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of history lesson. You guys can write this down if you want. That's up to you. There is a famous Christian writer called Tertullian. He lived in about 150 to 220 AD. And he's one of the earliest Christian writers in history. That's, you know, you're talking 120, 130 years after Jesus had died that he began. And he is also known as the father of Latin theology. right? Now, Tertullian was an attorney by his profession. And when he would write in a very particular way. Now, he wrote many books, and nobody really knows how many books or treaties or anything that he wrote, but he's been credited with about 31, so to speak, around there. And this is Tertullian, right? But Tertullian, what he's really famous for, he was the first Latin theologian to use the word Trinity in his writings. Trinitas is the Latin word for Trinity, and he was the first one. And Tertullian, like I was saying, he wrote in many specific, in any specific way, in a particular form. And I understand why he did it this way, and I believe that as soon as I announce it, that you will understand also why he did this, because the fact is Tertullian wrote his papers in the way that he looked at Father God as a judge, and he looked at Jesus as a defense attorney. That was the imagery that he gave those two individuals. Father God was the judge. Jesus was the defense attorney. But I want to impress upon you the fact that this man, Tertullian, way smarter than I am, right? Way smarter than I am. And I'm not taking anything away from him from the fact of what he wrote and what he did. Some of his papers are fantastic, but I think he was in error with this imagery. Because I don't believe that this imagery that he's prescribing out here shows or fully reflects who God is. He limited God to one stance and Jesus to another stance, and this does not reflect who they are. Not in fullness. But if we look as Father God as being the judge, what do you see? Well, Tertullian wrote how Jesus came and he saved us from God's wrath. Right? You look at that and you got saved from God's wrath. You believed in Jesus, now you don't have to die, you have eternal life, right? So Jesus is now the defense attorney saying, nope, everything's paid for, they're off the hook. Perhaps that's why we see God as the harsh one a lot of times, Father God. I don't know. Jesus the Savior, Father God the wrathful one. This is part of the imagery that a lot of the world has, and I would almost wonder if some parts of the church don't have that same viewpoint. I hope not. But you can recognize it sometimes when you're talking to people, especially those that profess to be a follower of Jesus, that they look at it this way. But when you look at it in those terms, it misrepresents who God really is. It misrepresents of where his heart is. And as I was preparing for this message throughout this week, I was thinking to myself, what is one verse in the Bible, just one verse in the Bible that I can use that will let people see God for who he is, to see Father God as a father anyway? And there's so many verses in the Bible that speak about God being the Father, right? I'm sure you guys know them better than I do. But it speaks about how our God in heaven is the Father. But the one I chose is something very special, and I guarantee you're going to know it. I guarantee as soon as I start saying it, you're going to go, yep, that's the one. So here we go. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the verse that came to my heart that said this verse represents God as the Father that we all have, that we all should know, that we all should possess in our heart and in our mind. Because this verse points him out in a different way than what Tertullian could give at any moment in time. You see, our God the Father is not just a judge. He's something so much more beyond that, because he did something as, well, we'll just call him a judge at the moment. He did something as the judge that proved that he's not always wrathful, that he's not vengeful, that he doesn't do this because he sent his son for us. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do it anyway. He sent his son. For God so loved the world. So how does a wrathful, vengeful father send his son to save us? I have an answer for you. I don't know if it's the answer that you want or the answer. Maybe you have a better answer than I do. But I look at that, and I look at that part that says, for God so loved the world. Because he loved us so much that love is the answer of why he did that. Why he sent his son. Of why a righteous and holy God sent his son. Because he loved us. I hope that you recognize the fact that your Father in heaven loves you very much. And I'm going to say that repeatedly, probably during this time, that I hope that you recognize that. I hope that you feel that. I hope that's something that gives you peace and comfort all the time. Because that's our Father God. Now, there's skeptics in the world that look at that and go, how does that prove that he loved me? How do I know? Maybe you're asking yourself, you question that. How do I know that he loves me? Well, we said, well, he sent his son, right? So we got that. But I've got another one. I've got another part of how we know that Father God loves us. So if the previous one didn't get you, maybe this one will. And for this one, I want you to grab your Bibles. I want you to grab your Bibles, your apps, whatever you got going on. Don't rely upon the screen. I want you to see it in the printed word because I want you to recognize that it's in there. It's not something that we make up. We don't write the ones on the slides just because it goes with the message. No, the message comes from God and what he has. So let's turn to the book of John, chapter 14. And if you're in John 14, I want you to look at verse 7. Verse 7. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, how does that play into the fact that we know that Father God loves us? Well, if you look at that statement, if you really know me, you know my Father as well. And if you think about what you're reading in there, you'll get the fact that Jesus is a direct reflection of his Father. Direct reflection. Not a partial, not something that goes away. He is a direct reflection of his Father. He's saying, if you know me, you know my Father well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him because you saw Jesus. And Jesus came to this plane, this existence, this earth, right? And what did he do? He gave up his royalty. He gave up his sovereignty in heaven. He made himself poor to come down here and be with us and take on the price that we should have paid. He did that out of love. And if you can say that Jesus is a defense attorney and that he loves us and that he's a direct reflection of Father God, then you have to imprint the image of Jesus onto his Father also. And realize that the love that Jesus had for each and every one of us to say that you are going to be forgiven because I will be your advocate. I will be the one. I will be your defense attorney. That has to be God also, God the Father. Jesus is a direct reflection of Father God. And if Jesus possesses that, it had to come from somewhere. And it came from the Father. So hopefully, maybe in the middle of all this rambling, that you see how narrow the imagery of Father God as a judge really is. Because he's not just a judge. He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He's also your defense attorney. He's each and everything that we need him to be. As much as Jesus are these things, so is Father God. Otherwise, how do we have the Trinity? And I'm not even about to go into that because I can't even wrap my mind around that always. He sent his son, but his love didn't stop there. You can read throughout the Bible where his love just continues to go on and go on. In fact, if you go down about 9 verses into verse 16, you can read also how he sent his love down here. For Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. An advocate to help you and be with you forever. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Father God said, it's not enough that they have my son, because my son is going to leave. My son has to leave. But he said, I'm going to provide you with somebody else that can be with you forever, encompassing all of creation, not just here in this spot at this time. He says, I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to show you my love by giving you somebody that will always be with you, so you will always feel my presence and know that I am always with you. This is our Father in heaven, folks. Doesn't that make you smile? Doesn't it make your heart just leap out of your chest, get filled with all that love? Doesn't that make it just great? This is our Father God. He sent Holy Spirit here. He gave us unrestrained access to himself. Unrestrained, we have access to him. If you read through Scripture, maybe you read in there sometime that, remember that curtain was torn? That curtain that restrained access to him. He said, we no longer need this. You now have access to me 24/7. We have access to his power through Holy Spirit. And I, for one, cannot imagine an unloving father doing this. I said earlier that Jesus was a reflection of his Father God, right? That Jesus reflected the image of Father God and who he is. But he also did something else for us, Jesus did, in being here. He actually modeled what a relationship with Father in heaven should look like. He gave us a point to peer behind the veil of what our relationship with God in heaven could be like and should be like. You know, there's a saying that I grew up with, and I remember it being there. And the saying went like this, is any male can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. If you know, you know. Right? If you don't know, come see me after the service and I'll help explain it to you. But that's a saying I grew up with. A saying that made that real to me. And Jesus put together this and he demonstrated, he modeled what the relationship was supposed to be like. And this relationship is supposed to, his relationship with his Father especially, reflected the deepness of relationship that he had with Father God and that we also have access to and what ours should be. The deepness of and richness of that relationship. There's three special places in the Bible, just three. Sometimes we talk about how, you know, we pick a word and it's like this word is so important because it encompasses hundreds of areas in the Bible that it talks about it, right? We look at that as being talked about because it's so important because it's talked about so much. Well, this one is talked about because it's so important that it always mentioned in three places. Just three. The first one being in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. You can look that one up if you wish. Mark 14:36, where Jesus is praying, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Perhaps you recognize the frame of reference that he's using here, where he's using this prayer, where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and soon he's about to be whipped and flogged and hung on a cross for us. And he's praying to his Father in heaven, and he's praying in such a way that he calls out to him, Abba, Father. This Abba, Father, is something that represents such a deep intimacy that Jesus had with his Father in heaven. Abba, Father. He's calling him Daddy. He's yelling out, Papa, Papa, I need you. Jesus loved his Father. Jesus loves his Father because his Father loves him. And he didn't feel that it was inappropriate to call out to him, say, Papa, say, Daddy, I need your help. You know, it makes me think about being a dad and being a grandpa and how my name is called most of the time. There's sometimes things are not perfect, right? So there's sometimes that sometimes we have to get on our children, dad, and, you know, or even our grandkids, grandpa, that, you know, they don't like it. But most of the time, right? But think about most of the time how your kids call out to you or your grandkids call out to you. And they call out to you in such a way to say, Papa, Papa, Daddy, Grandpa. And remember what that feels like. Remember the intimacy in that moment that they were calling out to you. But that intimacy came in such a way that you knew it was an respect. Intimacy and respect. Just like with God, when we call out to him, Abba, Father, that's a term that we call out to him in intimacy and reverence. To say that you're my dad. I respect you and I love you. It's the same way Jesus called out to him. Said there are two other places in the Bible that this is referred to as Abba Father, and it's to help us figure out where we fit into this, because we have Jesus calling out in that way. But those two other places, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles and apps still available there, quick. Book of Romans, chapter 8. It's important that you see this to know truly how this applies to you. Chapter 8, verse 15. It says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father, by the spirit that we have been adopted in sonship. There's another place in Galatians. If you can turn real quick to Galatians. And in chapter 4, verse 6. Another spot that hopefully will give light to your Father in heaven. Chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit, his Son, into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. What does that all mean? It brings back a very special memory for me. Some of you in here know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. Some of you will be probably a time of remembering, and it's not supposed to be a time of sadness, but a time of joy. Because I remember being in the courtroom when my son and my daughter-in-law were adopting Noah. And I remember what happened during that time, and the judge talking about things and making statements and asking questions. And a realization came upon me at that time of just what was going on there, where the judge was saying, you are now giving or accessibility to your name, your livelihood, your love, every aspect of your family, you are now bringing on to this child and giving it to them. You are adopting them into your family. And by adopting into your family, this is the thing that the judge says, you are now giving them access to all the rights and responsibilities of one of your children. If you know, you know. It's a special moment. So how does that apply to us? Well, when you look at Romans and you look at Galatians, you are now adopted into God's family. And you now have access to all the rights and responsibilities of His Son. He is your Father. If you give your life over to Jesus and you surrender and you follow, you are now sons and daughters of God with all the rights and responsibilities that is held inside of that. Think about that a moment. Think about Father God at a moment. Father God had this kind of intimacy with His Son, and we have been adopted into His family, and we have all the same rights and responsibilities. That means we have access to the same intimacy with Father God that Jesus has. How does that make you feel? Hopefully happy. Hopefully it gives you a time of joy of just coming out and screaming, Abba, Father, right? To yell out, Papa, to say, Lord, it's me. It's me. I'm coming home. Thank you. This is the way it's supposed to be. This day is a day of celebration. But I had to bring you down just a little bit to pump you back up. I had to make you realize the fact of how deep this goes to say, this is what you have. This is the wellspring that you drink from. And because of this wellspring, you have the same rights and responsibilities. You have access to the same love, the same grace, the same mercy, the same everything else that Jesus had access to when He was here. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. And you can have as much as you want. You can stop the flow coming into you, or you can open it up so the floodgates just keep rolling. That's your decision. But we have a Father God who loves us very much. We have a Father God who always wants to see what's best for us. All we have to do is give Him the opportunity to do it. So today, as we get ready to go, I'm going to invite the music team back up. I want you to celebrate Father's Day. But in celebrating Father's Day on this earth, I want you to celebrate even more Father's Day that we have with our Father in heaven. To realize you carry the same rights as Jesus did, as He does. And because of that, we have access, unfettered, unimaginable, unrestricted access to Father God. And that is truly a time to celebrate who He is and have that and encompass that as we begin to enjoy the rest of this Father's Day, as we go out and we grill our burgers, as we grill our dogs, as we have our steaks, whatever it is you're doing, I want you to celebrate your Father in heaven, and I want you to celebrate Father on earth. Some of you that may not have a Father on earth to really reflect in, celebrate the one in heaven, because He is perfect, and He will never do you wrong. He will always love you. So let's, if you're able, let's stand as we begin to celebrate and we go out and we celebrate our Father's Day.